Good afternoon. Welcome to the church family of St. Linus. We extend a warm welcome to you and to our visitors who will worship together on the Feast of Pentecost. The announcements for this week follow. The funeral for Thomas Churchvara will be this Monday at 10 a.m. At this time, we ask that you silence all cell phones and refrain from using any type of photography during the Mass. There will be an opportunity for individual pictures after Mass with the bishop. Please see page 3 in the bulletin for the meetings this week. Please stand and join in prayer and song.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Wonderful to be here with you today, celebrating the Feast of Pentecost, and also to be able to celebrate the Sacrament of Confirmation. It's a happy time for the young men and women who are about to be confirmed, and also for their parents, family, and friends. But it's also an important moment for the parish, because the parish can look at itself and say, we're doing what God has asked us to do. We're passing on to another generation that which is most precious to us, our inheritance, our faith, and the tradition of the church. So we come together certainly today in praise and thanksgiving. Now these young men and women began the journey that brought them to this day today on the day of their baptism. So today, as we begin the celebration of this Eucharist, we do so with the water rite. Dear friends, this water will be used to remind us of our baptism. Let us ask God to bless it and to keep us faithful to the Spirit that He has given us. God our Father, your gift of water brings life and freshness to the earth. It washes away our sins and brings us eternal life. We ask you now to bless this water and to give us your protection on this day which you have made your own. Renew the living spring of your life within us and protect us in spirit and body, that we may be free from sin and come into your presence to receive your gift of salvation. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Almighty God, cleanse us of our sins, and through the Eucharist that we are about to celebrate, make us worthy to sit at His table in His heavenly kingdom. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you fulfilled the Easter promise by sending us your Holy Spirit. May that Spirit unite the races and nations on earth to proclaim your glory. And grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Thank you.
A reading from the book of the prophet Joel. Thus says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Even upon the servants and the handmaids, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and I will work wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood at the coming of the day of the Lord, the great and terrible day. Then everyone shall be rescued who calls on the name of the Lord. For on Mount Zion there shall be a remnant, as the Lord has said, and in Jerusalem survivors whom the Lord shall call. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Unitary Sponsorial Psalm on page 7, send forth your spirit.
Spirit, O Lord, and renew the
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, we know that all creation is groaning in labor pains even until now. And not only that, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that sees is not hope. For who hopes for what one sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait with endurance. In the same way, the Spirit too comes to the aid of our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes with inexpressible groanings. And the one who searches hearts knows what is the intention of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the holy ones according to God's will. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and exclaimed, "Let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. As Scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within him who believes in me." He said this in reference to the Spirit, that those who came to believe in him were to receive. There was, of course, no Spirit yet, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I now ask the candidates for confirmation and their sponsors to stand. Bishop Rees, I present to you these candidates who seek to complete their Christian initiation by reception of the sacrament of confirmation.
The Christian life and the demands that flow from the sacraments can never be taken lightly. Therefore, before granting these candidates their request to share fully in the Church's sacraments, it is important that the Church hears the testimony of their pastor and sponsors about their readiness. Therefore, I ask you, Father, are these candidates sufficiently prepared for the sacrament of confirmation?
Yes, they are.
My dear sponsors, have these candidates faithfully listened to the word of God proclaimed by the church, and have they come to a deeper appreciation of their baptism, in which they were joined to Christ and his church?
Amen.
Have they reflected sufficiently on the tradition of the church, which is their inheritance, and have they joined their brothers and sisters in prayer and advanced in a life of love and service of others?
Amen.
Dear candidates, you have been presented for the reception of the sacrament of confirmation. Do you wish at this time to be confirmed?
I do.
My dear candidates, relying on the help of God and trusting the testimony of your pastor and sponsors, the church and my person recognizes your desire to be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. All of us thank God for the good work he has begun in you. Thanks be to God. Be seated. Just a few hours ago, I was at the cathedral, and today, our Archbishop ordained 6 new priests for the Archdiocese of Detroit and 1 for the Diocese of the Cameroons. And in that prayer, it ended with something like this: and we all thank God for the good work he has begun in you. We just heard that just a few seconds ago, too, didn't we? Where these young men and women who are about to be confirmed and receive the sacrament of confirmation. We have to put this whole thing that we're celebrating today in perspective. It's God's way of showing us just how much he loves us. Not only does he give us the gift of life, he gives us the gift of eternal life. And not only does he give us the gift of life, he gives us the grace and strength, courage to be able to live a good life. And that's what we've come together to celebrate today in the sacrament of confirmation. You see, I'm not the least bit worried about God's part in this sacrament. He tells us he's going to give us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I believe with my whole heart and soul that he gives us those gifts. But then I have to ask myself the question, what do we do with those gifts? How do we use them? Or maybe more importantly, do we use them? Do we put them into practice? And so we've got to sort of examine our consciences, those of us who've already been confirmed, and those who are about to be confirmed have to start thinking about what this is going to mean in your daily life. What's it going to mean to live a life with the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Well, let's try to put it into perspective for you, okay? Now, when I was a happy pastor like Father, I would interview the candidates for confirmation. And I would have them, he knows that because he was one of the associates. He was at the parish. And I would have them bring one of their parents with them. And they'd sit down in my office, and they would smile, and I would smile. And the first question I would ask the young person is, did you make your bed this morning? What are you laughing about? I do, all the time. But anyway, the reason I do is this. When I was confirmed, the bishop told us to go home and to have a meeting with our parents and to ask our parents what we could do for the good of the whole family. So we went home. My mom baked a chocolate cake. I like chocolate cake. and we live in Michigan, we had Werner's ginger ale, okay? And we had our little party, and after the party, I said, okay, Mom and Dad, you heard the bishop, what can I do for the good of the whole family? And my mother didn't blink. She was 8 months pregnant, she looked me straight in the eye, and she said, make your own bed. So now, I really don't care if you make your bed. However, I do want you to have that meeting. That meeting is very, very important. Because you know what? Making sacrifices for the good of others is not something that is inbred. It's something that we have to learn. We have to learn it. Learn to make sacrifices. Let me give you an example. Have you ever heard a commercial on television that said, or on radio, I was alive before television? I just want you to know that. You're supposed to say, wow. I've never heard a commercial ever that said, buy me only if you really, really need me. Have you ever heard a commercial like that? No. All the commercials we hear are, buy me, buy me, buy me, buy me. You need me, you need me, you need me, you need me. And if we lived that way, we would have a focus only on ourselves. We'd only be thinking about ourselves. And we know that when Jesus came to live among us, he asked us to do two things. He asked us to love God our Father with him, and to serve our brothers and sisters with him. And if we're only thinking about ourselves, we're not going to be thinking about our brothers and sisters. So you have to start asking yourself those questions. Let me give you a really, really practical example. Oh, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, some friends of mine invited me over for dinner. So I went over to the house. And knocked on the door, rang the doorbell. Door opens. One of the children is there. Looks at me and says, tell my dad to buy me those new Nikes. Whoa. So there was no, hi, Bishop, come on in, glad to see you, nothing like that. You know, tell my dad to buy me those new Nikes. So we go in. I said, you know, Mom and Dad invited me for dinner. Let's go on in and eat. So we went in. We had supper. After supper, the children disappeared, and I was alone with Mom and Dad. And so I said, well, what's that all about? And the dad said, they asked, and I said, no. And I said, did you tell them why? He said, well, yeah, you know, I didn't, but it's been a bad winter, heavy gas bills. They're not barefoot, and so I said, no. Couldn't afford it. And so I said to Mom and Dad, I said, you know what? You just took away an opportunity for your children to make a sacrifice for the good of the whole family. Because Dad was right. They weren't barefoot. They had perfectly good shoes. But they wanted those. And so as we mature in using the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I hope that what we're going to be able to do is to make the distinction between what I need and what I want. Got to be able to make that distinction. And if we live life with just what our needs are, you know, it's going to be a lot more peaceful, and you're going to go through it with a lot less problems. Because you're not going to be focusing all the time on more, 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 more. So think about that. All right, that's at home. Now, school. Because you spend a lot of time in school now, don't you? Yeah. I'm going to tell you something that you may not want to hear, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Right now, God wants you to be good students. Because that's your vocation right now. Your vocation right now is to be a student. God wants you to be a good student. It's probably the teacher in me coming out, but it's the truth. What is a good student? Who is a good student? A good student isn't always the A student. I mean, maybe they can memorize facts better. I don't know. A good student is a student who studies, who does their homework, and who participates in class, even if it's not cool. Let me tell you why. Education is not facts or information. And if it were, we could save a lot of money by just buying all of you an iPad and let you Google your life through. I mean, and I've got nothing against iPads. I've got one because it helps me a great deal to keep my life organized. But education is a lot more than that. It's the wisdom of knowing how to use information and how to use technology for the praise of God and for the good of our brothers and sisters. That's what a good education is all about. An education filled with values. An education filled with helping people to know how best to use information and technology. You know the answers to the other questions. Somebody asks you, you want some drugs? The answer is absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, God's giving you the insights to know how you ought to live your life. I'm just going to give you one more example. Father, you are never, ever going to be at a loss for volunteers from here on in because you're getting 36 new ones today. 36 new volunteers in the parish. Because that's what pardon me? All right, good. Because living a truly responsible Christian life in your parish means that you participate fully in your parish as well. Which means you read the bulletin, see what the bulletin has coming up in events, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and see how you can put yourself into those programs. You know, it's a real sad statistic that only about 10% of Catholics are actively participating in their parishes. 10%. Now, considering the fact that we have over a billion Catholics in the world today, the 10% are doing a pretty good job. But imagine what it could be like if 20%, 30%, or praise God, 100% were totally committed and active in their parish, totally committed and active in the mission of Jesus in the world today. What a difference we could make. What a difference we could make. Look what one person like Pope John Paul II did, because he understood how much God loved him and the gifts that God was giving him. And yet there are over a billion people that God loves just as much. There are more than a billion. He loves everyone. But are we using the gifts he wants to give us and does give us? So let's think about those questions. Let's pray about them. Let's pray for one another. And today, particularly in this Mass, let us pray for two things. One, a prayer of thanksgiving to Almighty God because he just keeps giving us gifts over and over again. And a prayer of petition. A prayer asking Almighty God to give us the courage to use the gifts he gives us. That's going to be my prayer for us today. I ask you to join me in that prayer. God bless you.